الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to Islamic Faith and Focus class. I'm your host, Dr. Hassan Amin. I'm not going to do the usual opening for class. I'm just going to get right into this topic about talking about some of the jobs of the angels. And as Muslims, we believe that there are angels, and these angels are made or created from or what you call nur, or light. And so they all have particular jobs that they do. And so I want to sort of get into some of the jobs that they do. So one of the verses in the Quran, if you want, you could turn to chapter 21, verse 20. Again, that's chapter 21, verse 20. And so it says in a particular verse, يُسَبِّحُونَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ لَا يَفْتُرُونَ. And so it says that glorify him day and night, never wavering. This is the angels. This is what they do. There's one spot in Jannah where angels, you have, say for example, 70,000 angels are going there and they pray to Allah, they worship Allah, they glorify Allah. And then the next day, another set, these angels are gone, and then another set. Today, the days of whatever day it is for you all when you're listening to this particular class, angels are there. Then tomorrow, a new set of angels will come and do the same thing. And yesterday, another set of angels were present and they glorify Allah. And then today, a new set of angels glorify Allah. And then tomorrow, another set of angels will glorify Allah. This is one of their jobs. And so, as it says here, is that they glorify him day and night and never waver, never go and do something opposite of what Allah wants them to do. Also, in the womb itself, when we're born, is that the angels are present. And the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, Allah has appointed an angel in the womb. And the angel says, oh my Lord, a drop of discharge, meaning semen, oh Lord, a clot, oh Lord, a piece of flesh. And then, if Allah wishes to complete the child's creation, the angel will say, O Lord, male or female? And it says, O Lord, the person is going to be a wretched individual or a blessed individual in religion. What will be his livelihood? And will what was his age be? Meaning how long would he live? And the angel writes all of this while the child is in the womb of his mother. That's for each and every one of us, whether it be male or whether it be female, what would their livelihood be, what age, how long they will live, and that's happening for each and every one of us that are listening to this class today, or this daughter today. And so that's one of the jobs of the angels. One I mentioned, glorify Allah day and night. And then here, the angels are in the womb, and they say, oh, Lord, oh, our Lord, there's a piece of flesh. There's a clot here. So what do we do with it? And so it's going to be male or female. What would its livelihood be? How long would it live? And so the Lord destined, is the person going to be male or female, and how long they're going to live, and their livelihood and the like. So that's one of the jobs of the angel, to be in the womb and to ask the Lord, okay, what happens next, excuse me, with this individual? Then you have a situation, excuse me, everyone. You have one, an angel of death. And you could turn to chapter 32, verse 11. That's chapter 32, verse 11. And it says, the angel of death, Israfil, is a sign for you, will carry off your souls and bring you back to your Rabb. And so I mentioned this particular one is very interesting, is that I know someone that the individual was dying, and a person was near this person while they were fading away in this world. And then the individual reported that they heard the person that was laying down dying say something like struggling, like, who are you? Who are you? That kind of thing. So more than likely it was the angel of death coming to take the individual's soul, and then Allah decides what is this person's outcome of this individual. So you have the angel of death at your head, and you have the angel of mercy there, and then they say, okay, how's this person going to be pulled out? And the person will be pulled out of the soul. Their soul will be pulled out of their body in a nice, gentle way and wrapped in sort of silk, if you will, having a nice fragrance from paradise. Or this person going to be snatched out of the body, the person who's a wretched person, individual do not believe in Allah and the like, snatched out the body and then wrapped in a very woolen and rough material from the hellfire. And so you all keep this in mind, but the angel of death, no bargaining or anything like that. Are you a great person that bargain with people? All right, then your law allow you to be great in this world, but that means you're going to be great in the next world and be bargaining for your soul. And so let me go on to the next one, my beautiful students, and what I have mentioned to you before about the struggling at the time of death. It was reported that the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, when a believer or a believer's death is near, the angel of mercy bring a piece of white silk and says, come out, please, accept to Allah's rest and provision and to a Lord who is not angry. Then the soul comes out with the fragrance like that of a sweetest musk. They pass him from one another till they bring him to the gates of heaven. And so let me just, instead of me going through all this, as I mentioned, the soul of the believer is taken gently from the body, like the water dripping from a faucet. And then, so next time you turn on water, then you just imagine the gentleness of the water coming through that particular faucet that you turned on. And so the angels wrap that particular individual. Sorry, not the angel wraps up the individual. Individuals go through the various heavens. At each heaven, is questioned, who is it? Angel will identify himself and say, who is with you? And then it be identified that so and so, son of so and so, this is a person who was a worshiper of Allah, obedient to Allah. And then they want to pass this individual around because it has a sweet fragrance coming from the individual. And we all want to be that individual that's being passed around by the angels. Then a Christian person who is a wretched person and not a blessed person in the faith, for example, they're snatched out, wrapped up into a woolen, very coarse material from the hellfire. And then they get to the first heaven and with the angel, and then the angel at the guardian of the gate says, who is it? I'm angel so-and-so, who's with you, so-and-so, son of so-and-so. This is a disbelieving person. And so at that point, the angel don't want to have anything to do, don't want to pass you around, or pass the individual around because of the smell emanating from the individual, the sour, the nasty, bad odor that's coming from the individual. And so again, we have the struggling, as I mentioned before, of a person that don't want to leave the body. and struggling to stay. No matter where they run to, the angel will find them. I find the wretched individual and then snatch their soul from the body, and which I believe I did a class on that before, so I won't go into a lot of details regarding there, because we have a lot of material to cover. And so then, you know, and I mentioned to you about the offensive odor coming from an individual that did not believe in Allah, was a wretched individual, and so that would be their end. And so you have also, you take a look at of the angel that is between that's there between you, the death. I'm talking the birth of the individual, and also the death of the individual. Methel, for example, if you turn to chapter 50, verse 17, again, chapter 50, verse 17, where it mentions about the recording angels, one sitting on the right and the other sitting on the left, and they write down everything. Everything they write, they write down the good that you do and the bad that you do. So you have the recording angels, and I'm doing their job. And then of course you have your guardians on the keeper of the hellfire, and so they are Aleha Tisra Asher. And so you have, that's the 19. Or on it, or around it, or the 19. So when you turn to chapter 74, verse 30, and it talks about over it, meaning the hellfire, are 19 angels as guardians and keepers of hell. And so that's their job. They're the keepers of the hellfire. And you have again Tisata Asherah. You have the 19 angels that are the guardians over the hellfire. And so you also have the angel, and I hope I'm not going too fast for you all. You also have the angel that blows a trumpet. The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, he said, "How can I feel at ease?" When this was, questioned by his companions. How can I feel at ease when the angel of the trumpet, meaning Israfil, has put his lips to the trumpet and is waiting for the order to blow it? He perceived, meaning the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, he perceived as if this had been a shock to his companions, so he told them to seek comfort through reciting, "Allah alone is sufficient for us, and He is the best, the disposer of affairs for us." And so we see here that he mentioned about one of the other angels, one of the jobs of the angel, is Israfil, is that he has a trumpet near his lips, near the trumpet, and just waiting for Allah to give him the command to blow the trumpet. And once the trumpet is blown, then everything ceases to exist. Mankind ceases to exist. Everything ceases to exist. Everything disappears. The mountain turns almost like dust. You could just blow them away, this huge mountain. If you all live near mountains, you know how huge they are, how massive they are, and that all these would turn into dust, and you could just blow them away. Everything in the world would be flat. But I won't go into detail about that right now. But the thing that what you understand is that there's an angel that is there to blow the trumpet, and just waiting for Allah to give the command for him to blow the trumpet. Then you have, of course, the angels that bring out the hellfire. And so one of the great scholars of Islam, Sahih Muslim, Imam Muslim, he had mentioned about Jahannam, meaning the hellfire, being brought out having 70,000 like ropes, if you will, and on each rope is pulled by 70,000 angels. So can you imagine 70,000 ropes? And then on each rope, you have 70,000 angels pulling that rope on each of those ropes, and then bringing out this massive thing, which is the hellfire. Not seen by human beings before, except for Prophet Muhammad, where he went through, and I mentioned it to you all before, where he was showing the hellfire and what happens in the hellfire and so forth. But you're talking about coming on the day of judgment, being pulled out by the angels, and this is their job to pull out the hellfire before the people. And so let me move on my beautiful students pertaining to the jobs, or some of the jobs of the angels. And then this is a beautiful saying of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And this is related by one of the great scholars of Islam, Imam Sahib al-Bukhari. And he mentioned that the Prophet said, may peace be upon him, every day two angels come down from the heaven. One of them says, O Allah, compensate every person who spends in your cause. And the other angel says, O Allah, destroy every miser. So we see here that the angel, so which angel is praying for you? When a person gives and spends in the cause of Allah and helping others, the poor and the like, the angel asks Allah, give him more, bless him, compensate him or her. And then the one that the people need their money, want their money, and they have the ability to give the money to the people, but yet they keep the money in their pocket, on their bank account or whatever. And then the angel says to them, destroy every miser. All this person does is collect money and keep it, maybe count it over and over again, but does not give it out to the people. And so you have these two angels coming down, one praying to compensate the person who gives and spends in Allah's cause, and the other says to the person, destroy the one who keeps the money, destroy this individual or this person who is a miser. So the thing is, which are you? Which angel is praying for you? The angel that's praying for you that because you're a giving person and says that compensate this person, or the angels praying against you, if you will, that destroy this person, the individual who is a miser. So I'm going to relate something else to you, and this is another great scholar of ours, Imam Malik, relates that Yahya related to me from Malik, from Yahya ibn Sa'id, that Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, these are different persons, from one person, another person, heard this. He used to say, whoever prays on waterless, on desolate land, an angel prays on his right, and an angel prays on his left. When he calls both the Adhani and the Kaaba, meaning calling people to prayer, and then the Kaaba letting the people know, all right, it's time to pray, or calls out the Kaaba, angels like mountains pray behind them. So, for example, and I'm using me only for example, is that I'm praying on waterless land, on land, and I'm praying, call the Adhan, call the Ikama, and let people know Adhan is to prayer is in, and Ikama is, okay, let's assemble and pray before our Lord. And then behind me, for example, are angels like mountains pray behind me, as large as mountains I'm praying behind me. So you understand the size of them. I told you what they're made of, which is nur or light. And then the size of them is that the size of mountains. And some are very smaller than that, and some are larger. larger than that, as I mentioned to you before. Like Angel Brill, for example, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he saw him one day, and he had all these wings, and from the wings dripped this jewelry from it, from the wings, and he was massive. Like, he can also block out the sun from the sky. He was so big. So I won't get into the details regarding that, but I'm going to do now. I'm going to move on. And so you have angels also that are in control of the mountains. And so I'm going to sort of condense this a little bit. That the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he left Mecca, talking to people about, that's one city in Saudi Arabia, or Arabia at the time. And he left there to talk to people in Taif, T-A-I-F, about Islam. And he went there, and he was not received very well there. A matter of fact, some of the local children, they were trying to harm him, and so much so that they hit him, and he bled into his, sort of into his sandal, down to his feet. And so one of the angels came to him, and he basically said to him, you know, oh, Muhammad, you know, basically just give me the word. I control the mountains by Allah's will. And so we had this particular town was sort of like situated between two mountains, sort of in the valley, if you will. And these mountains were there. And he said, just give me the word, and I will bring the mountains together and smash the people up in this particular city. And so all he needed was the word from the Prophet Muhammad. But Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, he said, no, you know, basically, don't kill them or do that to those individuals, because they wanted to crush by his command. They wanted to crush the people in that village the way they treated him. And so the Prophet Muhammad, he said, well, I'd rather hope that Allah will raise from among their descendants people who will also worship Allah the One and will not ascribe partners to him. He said, maybe they're not going to believe, but maybe those after them, next generation, will believe, or generations after them, that they will believe. And if you look at it today, most of Arabia, they call it Saudi Arabia now, most of the people there are Muslim, by Allah's mercy. And so I just wanted to mention that to you, is that you have the angel that controlled the mountain by Allah's will and said, look, just give me the word and I'll take care of things for you and not crush them between the mountains. So I just wanted to mention that to you. And so also that when the Muslims were in battle against the non-Muslims, non-Muslims attacked them, and so they defend themselves. And so it was mentioned by Angel Jibril came to the prophet upon him and asked him, how do you estimate among you those who participate in the Battle of Badr? He's the one of several battles that Muslims participated in. And he replied, they were the best of Muslims. Or he may have said something like similar to that. And Jibril said, the same is the case with the angels who were at Badr. Badr is B-A-D-R. Is that? So we see here that the angels participated in the battle up on alongside with the Muslims, so they were there battling with the Muslims, and so this is another job of the angels to fight with those who believe in Allah. And so I want to mention this other thing to you all, and that's when you talk about visiting the sick. When a Muslim, I whomever, visit the sick. And I got to have an example here, is that it was mentioned about Ali visit him when he was sick, visit his other Muslim, Abu Musa, when he was sick. Have you come to visit him or to gloat? He said, no, I have come to visit him because he is sick. Ali said to him, since you have come to visit him because he is sick, I heard the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, say, if a man visits his Muslim brother and when he is sick, he is walking amongst the fruits of paradise until he sits down. And when he sits down, he is covered with mercy. And if it is morning, 70,000 angels will send blessings upon him until evening. And if it is the evening, 70,000 angels will send blessings upon him. So you have here the angels, their job is the person, visit a person who is sick. 70,000 is covered this individual with mercy, or ask Allah to have mercy on the individual. And then you have also, you have 70,000 that will ask for the blessing to be upon the individual. So I just wanted just to mention a few things to you all regarding the angels and the jobs of the angel. So I want to mention this other thing, this last thing to you, if you will, regarding the job of the angel. And it was mentioned again by one of the scholars of Islam, Ibn Majah. It was related that Abu Huraira, which is one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and Abu Sayyid, bore witness that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, no people sit in a gathering remembering Allah, but the angel surrounds them, mercy covers them, tranquility descends upon them, and Allah remembers them before those who are with him. And so if we gather and gather together, remember Allah, praying, asking for mercy, those kind of things, then you have angels that come down and they cover the individual, ask for mercy to the individual, the blessing of Allah descend upon that grouping of people. And so this is another job of the angels. When you're in the group and you remember Allah, a thicker Allah, kathir, remember Allah a lot, then the angels come and they do all the things I mentioned to you regarding to that individual. And so I want to stop here because I could cover a lot of information regarding a person who is about the job of the angel, but I won't go any further. You can always go to a neighborhood place of worship, a Muslim place of worship, the masjid, and ask more of the imam or leadership there. Tell me more about the angel, the jobs of the angel. You can tell them if you want. It's up to you what you know about it and what you learn from this class. And they may be happy about that you know that. And so, but the other piece is they may have more to offer to you than I do in this particular very quick class that we have here. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Dr. Hassan Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.